Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
Wow, you sound so boisterous. Put your headphones on.
Oh.
It's good that you're boisterous. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm Jen.
Oh, hey. Hey, hey. Check, check, check.
Much better.
Okay, what's up? I'm going to tell you what's going on this week. Ready?
Please do.
Could Instagram makeup finally be over?
Like the overdone aesthetic is over?
Yep.
Hmm.
Mm. Okay, this might actually be the death knell for Instagram makeup. Also, I want to talk to you about the IFF fragrance exhibit I went to. I had special access to a perfumery exhibit.
Chic.
Yes, very fancy, very fancy. And also, a PSA on essential oils. I think it's very much in order after the last couple of episodes.
Excellent idea. After we talk about that, we have Lo Bosworth on. You guys, she is the founder of Love Wellness. You might know her from reality TV fame. She's just awesome. We had so much fun. And honestly, get your drinks out because you need to drink every time we say vagina. That's the kind of episode this is going to be. It's not beeped for your kids. Enjoy.
So, Jen, last week, I presented, I did a little talk at Makeup in New York. It was an industry, a B2B conference, but it was very exciting because we had some Fat Mascara fans in the house. Didn't expect that.
Oh, I should have gone. That would have been fun.
It was really fun. Sorry, I was going to move my chair.
You were working on your PowerPoint diligently.
My PowerPoint. Actually, Jeff built my PowerPoint, so thanks. Thanks, Jeff.
So what were you talking about?
So I was talking about... basically something that I have noticed, and you can read more about this in October Bazaar, but something I have clocked since really, you know, just my time working, but really since the moment of the royal wedding.
Okay.
Is that makeup is getting a lot more subdued.
Are we talking products or people's faces?
People's faces, okay. And products.
Okay.
So I feel like last year I was seeing a ton of launches, which was, you know, a ton of liquid lipsticks, a ton of crazy eyeliners. Everything was like the more pigment, the better.
Power matte colors, mm-hmm. Like a deep contouring palette. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still, those haven't gone away. So, you know, you can still find those and they still are rolling in, but not at the level. Instead, the items that I find myself and other editors and even like Fat Mascara listeners getting excited about is makeup that like is like faking being makeup. And as I was thinking about it, it was almost like I felt like a detective like with the string, you know, like on the walls. Mm-hmm. the products that we're excited
trying
about,
to find the murderer by
yes,
putting
exactly.
things together.
Like, it was like Linda Wells with Flesh Beauty, and she was like, you
connect
know,
the dots for us.
Exactly.
Keep going.
She came in here. It was even the way Linda looked, and I know you guys couldn't see her unless you like looked on her Instagram. She came in like this like polka dot fun dress. It was like a like Lisa Hernandez dress. When I worked for Linda, she would wear like Narciso with like a Manolo Blahnik pump.
A hard look.
She came in and she was talking about how she was inspired to create Flesh because of girls wearing like sneakers to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to create this like athleisure look for mm-hmm. her consumers. Then I was thinking about like, you know, my girl Charlotte Tilbury, the biggest launch of the year was that flawless filter that like everyone keeps on asking about.
Yeah.
Even when like Daniel did Megan's makeup, the controversy was like so much about her makeup, the dress too, yes. But like no one was really saying they didn't like it. It was more like, that's an option now.
Of having less makeup face.
She was basically wearing no makeup. I mean, Daniel did an amazing job, but like it was to look like herself. And I mean, I took 30 minutes to explain all this, so I'm not going to do that to you guys now. But like...
No, I like where you're going with this.
Everything is about like... Even I was looking at Fashion Week. Like everything was so like modest. Like the necklines are really high. The hemlines mm-hmm. are low. Like somebody did like a report on like what women wearing in the front row, mm-hmm. and it looked like Laura Ingalls Wilder. You know, like
those prairie dresses are very hot.
Yeah,
this summer.
Like everything is just getting
Batshiva
a lot more,
or whatever that brand is that everybody's wearing.
Everything's getting so like sober.
Yeah,
and very I'm saying this word like in quotes, but like feminist, like. And the beauty is kind of reflecting that. And it's beautiful. But it's something I'm interested in. And now, like, when I see these really hardcore palettes or these, like, liquid lipsticks, it feels like, ooh, babe, like, eight months too late.
Do you think it's also an age conversation? So you used to work at Teen Vogue, and now you're working at Harper's Bazaar, which is a different reader, right? A little bit older.
Fair.
Also, I've noticed just as I've gotten older that less makeup tends to look better on me because it can settle in lines.
Right.
And I feel like some of the teenage girls are like, yeah, of course you can pile on like neon green and orange eyeshadow. It looks cool because you don't have any fine lines. Could that be part of it as well? You're just more tuned?
I think that could be part of it.
In your mature years.
Yes, I did just celebrate a birthday. we got my cane. No, but I think that is part of it. But I also think the audience who maybe 3 years ago was like, Instagram makeup is everything.
Yeah.
The pendulum has swung, which is what Daniel said when I was talking to him for this interview. He wasn't patting himself on the back saying like, I've created something new, a new aesthetic.
Right,
he's
right.
like, the pendulum has swung. You know, maybe 3 years ago he was interested in more vibrant colors. Sorry. Keep going.
No, we're doing a similar story that's coming out in October, Mary Claire. And my writer, Megan, talked to Nick Burrows.
Mm-hmm.
And he said part of the reason he thinks this is happening is because the first people on social media weren't the high-end artists or the high-end brands. They were a lot of the like direct-to-consumer brands that they were known for their bold colors. And the makeup artists themselves were like YouTubers and people who might not have as much talent. He wasn't like poo-pooing them.
Yeah.
But he said once like Chanel Beauty made its own Instagram account and people like Pat McGrath started coming onto Instagram, like the whole aesthetic sort of took a shift because those people tend to be lighter handed.
Well, Pat loves a bit of color.
Right.
I might put Pat in a different,
skin wise, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then he pointed to some products too. And I totally, this like the product that made me think of that is, you know how Giorgio Armani came out with like their version of contour and highlighter recently?
Yeah.
It's called Liquid A-Line. It is nothing like a NYX strobing palette. It's like the bronzer contour is like a liquid that you put on with a little sponge tip. Have you seen this? And then the highlighter is like almost like
almost
like an illuminating primer kind of. It doesn't have shimmer. It just illuminates. And they're very light-handed.
Yeah.
So it's like that high-end version is not as thickened on. What are your like no makeup?
I mentioned, I love the Charlotte. I really think that is my favorite
the
launch.
The flawless filter.
Yeah, I think that is like if I had to do like top three launches of the year, that's a contender.
Weird. The Armani is the same kind of doe foot in a little tubey applicator.
Yeah, it's a fat doe foot. And I use it sometimes just over a moisturizer. If I want to do a real like no makeup look, I'll just put like a rich moisturizer and do that and a little concealer. And people have said like on those days, I'm not trying to be like, you know, braggy, but people are like, oh, your skin looks really good today. And it's really just that flawless filter. I think the Flesh, it's called Fleshy Lips is a subcategory within Flesh Beauty.
Yeah.
It's like your lips, but better lipstick.
And it's not too matte. That's the other movement that goes along with this. No more of that like super, super matte, because it just doesn't look fresh and real, and no makeup makeup in real life. Because skin isn't matte. Skin is
totally
satiny kind of.
Yes.
Or if you have oily skin, it's dewy, and frankly, go with it, you know?
And I also, I wore the other day, I've always like hated eye glosses because I feel like they look really just like too like a try hard.
Did you try the Troye Sivan?
I didn't try that yet, but because I tried the Tom Ford eye gloss, the clear eye gloss.
How was that?
It was great. I just wore it over, I tried it over different eyeshadows, but then I just wore it by itself the other day, and it looked nice without looking like, hey guys, I'm wearing an eye gloss. You know, like it was just like a nice dewy feel. I do feel like with mascara though, I'm trying to do these natural looking mascaras. This baby needs a... mascara.
Like some volume, some lift, and whatever.
Yeah.
The lash tint isn't cutting it for
you. It's not working.
It's about balance, right? Yeah. If the skin is fresh, then maybe you just bring it with a lash.
Yeah.
I hear you. And I think we should like watch this trend as it moves. I really think your social media feeds are going to get less neon-y.
I agree.
Remember, Jaclyn Hill even agreed with us a little bit.
She did. She did. So, I think it's going the other way. So
we'll see what
watch
happens.
This space. Jen, I've been getting around lately.
How so?
So I just went to this very special exhibit, IFF, which is the International Fragrances and Flavors. Is that what it is? I always get it messed up. I always want to swap them.
They're a big fragrance house. They make fine fragrances and perfumes, but also vanilla ice cream flavoring.
They really do everything. I met someone there who does like food flavorings.
It's fascinating.
It was so cool. And I asked her,
should we have a food, like a flavor person on?
Oh my God, I'm going to find out if she's available.
That's cool.
Yeah, she was really cool. And I asked her what some things she worked on, and she couldn't tell me.
Ooh.
Isn't that really interesting?
Yes.
She could not tell me. So anyway, they had this big exhibit, but lay people were not able to come.
It was called the highlights.
Avant Garden. Well, one of the coolest things was that there was, and I mean, this is like, it's I'm going to put a photo of it on our Instagram, but like they constructed this thing that was like what space would smell like. Like I got into a contraption.
Okay.
And they put me in. I was a little claustrophobic. Thank God I knew that there were people that could take me out of there. And I made them make it. I was in like a cage.
Okay.
And I put on headphones and I was guided through space. Like I was like a meteor or something.
And there was a scent?
Yes. I had blindfold on. And there was different scents and they were kind of incensey and strange. And they asked me like, how many scents did I, like, they gave me like a quiz after, but it was one of the coolest things.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I saw was I went over to like, it almost looked like a Stonehenge of like lights, of like lit podiums. And at the top of them were like phrases, almost like haikus. And they were phrases of like feelings that have no words. Like, I'm sure you can appreciate that as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know how sometimes there are phrases and there's no word in the English language to describe these things?
Mm-hmm.
that are
there's probably a German word, but yes.
Yes, exactly. So,
that's cool. You literally just made me think of two different perfumes. Can I just say
yes,
it?
Yes, say.
So the space one, I was thinking of Nomenclature. Do you remember that brand?
They still exist.
They did a fragrance that was supposed to smell like space. I think it was Galaxol or some like some molecule that smells like a musk, but also like space. That's what I thought of. And then the Stonehenge one. Have you seen Floraiku?
Oh, yes.
The floral haiku?
Totally.
That brand's like all about the words and how they make you feel.
I didn't even think about
that. So this was like a multi-sensory experience of fragrance, huh?
Completely. Oh, here's ready?
And it was what to do what? Just to like get people excited about fragrance?
Exactly. Here's one of the things, and I'll post a photo of this on our Instagram, but the feeling for someone once loved but no longer. And then, I know, isn't that one got me right in the heart.
What did it smell like?
So you push a little button right on top of this lit podium, and it has this phrase. And
I know.
My heart did break, and then a scent came out of it, and that would be like the scent that matches that
feeling,
yes,
of longing,
exactly.
There's probably a French word for that one.
There were so many of these, like gallery pieces within this exhibition. Mm-hmm. I thought this needs to be open to the people, and I was thinking about how fragrance, you know,
there's the color factory.
You got it. You ripped the words out of my mouth.
No.
I'm glad you said that. There's been so much discussion, and at least internally as editors, we talk with the people in the fragrance industry. It's like, how do we get millennials excited about fragrance? And, you know, yes, it's exciting to see little gift sets and little minis and Sephora.
Rollerball.
Yes, but that's
we
not
can do better than a rollerball.
We've got to.
We can do better.
This was it.
Like a fragrance factory.
We've got to do the fragrance experience. Factory.
The only, I'll just be a little devil's advocate. Okay. I bet you it's not as Instagrammable because that's the problem with smell. There isn't, but this gives it a visual
component.
I'm going
to show you guys some of these photos.
Okay. I got
and
you.
And I want you guys to feedback on the photos.
What perfume it makes you think of?
Oh, I like that, Jen. Ooh. Yes. You okay, see? So, all right.
Somebody hire us, please.
Yes. I'm going to post this. What perfume, do you tell Jen and me what this perfume makes you think of? Because I really think that they need to get this show on the road.
So Jess and I have noticed, and you guys have given us feedback in the last couple episodes, and this happens often. You have on a different expert, and they have one take on something. Then you have on another expert, and you hear, like, almost the exact opposite thing. And then Jess and I sit here, and you're all like, why didn't you ask her about this? Let's all remember also, we're in a room, we're in a safe space with someone that we don't know well. We want them to feel comfortable. We're not going to, like, play gotcha journalism with them. We're trying to make a nice podcast. However, that did lead us to one.
We're just trying to make a nice podcast.
But the last couple episodes, essential oils have come up a bunch, and like the information has been all over the place. So I wanted to give a little like truth primer from someone who has interviewed multiple people. I'm referring to some interview notes from Nikita Wilson, cosmetic chemist, previous guest, as well as years of interviews and some study research as well to just clarify what it is essential oils are and can and cannot do. Jess, are you into it?
I'm into it. And okay. Thank you for all of the feedback on the Facebook group. Yeah. I'm loving it.
Yeah, because like Paula was like, no essential oils, they cause inflammation. And then Olivia Wilde comes on and is like, I love an essential oil. Okay, so she's not wrong in that sense, though. So what essential oils are? Now, remember, we're not talking about carrier oils. Carrier oils are the ones that come from the seeds of the plants. They're more emollient. Sometimes they're from the fruit of the plant. Things like jojoba, argan, apricot, rosehip, coconut, safflower, almond, right?
What are they carrying?
They will carry anything you like, potentially an essential oil, but those oils are not essential oils. Okay. So when you heard her say that and you were like, but coconut oil is so good for me, that's because that is not an essential oil. So okay. We're clear on that. Yes. Those are carrier oils. Yes. Okay, essential oils are the ones that come from the stems or leaves of the plants. They're the aromatic ones, so they're more volatile. Like they're, you know, they flash off and they smell. Those can be irritating when placed directly on skin. In fact, they're very irritating because they're potent. It's just like full of all the like aroma chemicals. The only time they're good is when they're in small doses, put into a carrier oil, and then given to your skin.
Okay.
And it's not like there's a ton of research on all of them either. So some of the ones that are like, you've probably heard about tea tree being antibacterial, true, or lavender and rosemary, also antibacterial. Then there are the like more fancy ones like rose oil, sandalwood oil, things that are from the woods of plants that are for fragrance. They might have some anti-aging benefits, but they're not really well studied. But always, always, they are applied in what, Jess?
In a carrier oil.
Exactly. So don't jump to conclusions when you hear people talk about oils. I think it's like, as you'll see from our further, it's like the vulva-vagina discussion.
Oh my
God. It's the carrier oil, essential oil. Like, know what you're talking about when you talk about things. And if that doesn't make sense, you really need to listen to the rest of this podcast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra. I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're gonna wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honey Love. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honey Love supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honey Love bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. Plus, female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off. Fellow podcaster, Lo Bosworth is the co-host of Lady Lovin'. She's also a wellness entrepreneur, is the founder of Love Wellness, plus a lifestyle blogger and advice columnist on her very own website, The Lowdown. And if her name sounds familiar, that's because you probably know her from pseudo-reality TV, right? Pseudo?
It is pseudo, yeah.
Laguna Beach and the Hills. Welcome to Fat Mascara, Lo.
Oh, thanks
welcome,
so much
Lo.
For having me.
I'm still thrown by the pseudo reality TV.
Because I want to call a spade a spade. Like,
yeah, what
does that mean?
Well, you know, when we were on TV, we had call times. The directors would say, "Okay, we're going to sit at this table, and you guys are going to talk about this, and we're going to shoot the take four times, and then we're going to repo the cameras, and we're going to do it all over again." So. We might have not been on a set, but it was really just a TV show.
Okay. Is that like, what was the other one? The Real World back in the day?
Oh my God, The Real World.
So good. But The
this
Real
the
World
true story.
Was real reality.
I think so,
I
right?
I think, yeah.
Like they had
Don't break the illusion for me. If anyone knows the truth, I don't want to know.
They had those cameras in the apartment like the whole time.
Yeah, in the bedroom. Oh,
and if they got
everything?
Into a fight, like sometimes the cameraman would go down.
Yeah.
Or like if they got it on, then it was like.
Did that ever happen on The Hills?
No.
Cameraman down.
Yeah, or if like they were getting it on, it would like then like it would go black or something. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so many questions.
Yes.
But that's not why you're here. That's not why you're here. Okay, so anyway, you just moved to NYC. You're back to NYC.
Back to
right?
NYC.
Okay, so what's up with the move? What brought you back?
Yeah, so I moved to California at the end of last year, and it hasn't been quite a year, but it's kind of like my year of rest, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So I went through a really awful breakup in 2017. I don't know. Anyway, it was so bad that I needed to go home for a little while. And I had been in New York for 6 years, and I thought, maybe it's just time to go home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to pack up my bags and head back to California. And I found...
Was it a good idea to go back to California?
So I had ended up spending most of the time with my family in Laguna instead of in LA, which is where I rented a house. But I found the social scene in LA to be a little bit difficult for me at this age and being a single person. I know so many people in LA, but they're very much coupled up and they're all, you know, in their own groups.
How old are you?
And 31. I'll be 32 this month in September.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Yeah.
Our birthdays are around now too.
Yeah.
Birthdays.
So you're a Virgo or a Libra?
I'm a Libra.
Me too.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways it was like really good for the soul. I hung out with my parents all the time. I went in the hot tub all the time, went to the beach. It was great. But I have spent so much time in New York since I moved back. I've been here pretty much the entire summer. And I just realized that my whole life is here. And it really felt more like a really good kind of time out for me. Good. But I guess I'm a New Yorker, you guys.
What are those differences?
Welcome back.
Thanks.
She's got the baseball cap on. She's got like just like a cool little style. So what's the difference, you think? I mean, it's kind of a cliche to be like New York versus LA, but what are some key differences?
For me, just walking down the street in New York makes me so happy. Just the energy and the pulse of the city just fills me with life. And anybody that lives here and loves the city feels the exact same way, right? Mm-hmm. And there's amazing culture here. There's always great restaurants to go to. It's just the basic stuff. I prefer the lifestyle here versus the lifestyle there. And there are amazing things about living in LA, but you just have a different vibe, you know?
Yeah.
I like to be in nature, but I don't need to be in nature all the time. I like to go on hikes, but I don't need to go on hikes all the time.
Jen dips out to go on a hike.
I do. You can hike on the East Coast, people.
I know, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
For me, California is home, and home is where the heart is, 100%. But I also... You know, I was in New York for 6 years before I went back to California. And
you're a New Yorker now.
I felt so much guilt, too, you know.
Oh, New Yorker through and through.
Yeah, you know.
Feeling guilt?
Yeah, I felt a lot of guilt for making the decision to live all the way across the country because my family's all in California. And I would internalize it when my mom and dad would say to me, oh, my gosh, I miss you so much. Please come home. I love you. I love you. And I really thought, like, oh, fuck, I need to move home to be with my family. And I have come to peace with that, and I've, like, reconciled it. And now I know that I can be here without feeling that way, and I'm just here doing my life and running the business. And now I consider myself to be, like, kind of bi-coastal between New York and Laguna, not New York and L.A.
Got it. I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, good advice about the guilt. Yeah. I need that advice.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about L.A., New York culture. Let's just talk about it in general.
Sure.
I was thinking about you and what we were going to ask you about, and I was thinking about social media. And when we all grew up, you know, there was no such thing.
It didn't exist. Mm-mm.
However, in a way, because of the shows you were on, you did have a camera in your face through, like, your teen and your adult formative years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How does that, like, inform you as an adult? Like, does it change the way you see the world in any way? Or even when you're building a business, has it made you like hesitant to do things?
To a certain degree, I would say that I'm a really outspoken person by nature, and I'm not afraid to have an opinion and to express it, at least in a polite, straightforward way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so social media has never really given me pause, to be honest with you. I think I have a really good barometer on what crosses the line, and I just choose never to cross the line. You know what I mean? But being on TV for a really long time and having people know who I was all of a sudden at the age of 17 did totally throw me for a loop. It was really weird, and I very quickly realized that, oh, I don't like it when people know who I am and stare at me. But I kind of, looked at the scales, an analysis of what's better for my life in the long run. People knowing who I am, but I have great business opportunities as a result, or the opposite of that. And, you know, I was a kid when I made the decision, so I can't go back and change the past. And so I am making the best of, you know, the life I have been given, which is a really blessed one. I know that's a cliche term, hashtag blessed. But, you know, I have this platform and I'm trying to use it for good.
Yeah.
And you've sort of... That's a really great, like, interpretation, a great outlook of your frame.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you've had a couple lives already, it seems, like culinary school and different businesses. Yes. And you sort of are finding a home now in the wellness space, which I love. Mm-hmm. And you seem really at home in the wellness space. How did you even get started in, like, starting your business? Or even your blog was always going to be about, like, food and skincare and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I was obsessed with beauty. I had, you know, like, the Kevin Aucoin makeup books when I was really little, and I would sit in the bathroom sink and paint my face and, like, mix up colors and do all this stuff. So my first fascination and obsession was with beauty specifically. And in a lot of ways that ties into wellness, you know, like, you love products and you figure out how they work best for you. But yeah, I have lived many different lives. And it's just because of my personality, like, I can't sit still for very long, but I do agree with you. The wellness space really agrees with me. I love it. I'm passionate about it. And it comes from a lot of personal experience. So probably in 2014, 2015, I was living in New York, and all of a sudden I was really unwell. One day I was fine, and then the next day I was, like, fall down on the ground, depressive and anxious. And it just was overnight. A flip switched in my body, in my brain somehow, and I just was not the person that I was anymore.
What do you think it was? You must have some kind of clue.
She knows.
I know what it is. But it took me a while to find out. And so I went on this self-care journey for about a year and a half, trying to find out what was wrong with me, or at least how I could relieve myself in the meantime. And I saw homeopaths and acupuncturists and general practitioners and all kinds of specialists. And then my just normal doctor, after, like, months and months of searching, finally decided to do a panel of my vitamin levels. And it turns out that I had severely deficient vitamin levels, and it was directly affecting my health. And, like, you think, we live in New York, we generally eat healthy diets here. Mm-hmm. We have access to local food. I eat really healthy. And I thought, how could this have happened to me, you know, in the United States, where everybody has access to food for the most part? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that I have some gene mutations that prevent my body from absorbing vitamins through food. Mm-hmm. And so it was really making me sick. It's like I reached that tipping point, sort of the Malcolm Gladwell thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like I was okay, and then all of a sudden I was not okay. And it took me a really long time to come back from that. But through that journey, I became really passionate about health and wellness and self-care, and that is what brought me to founding Love Wellness specifically. So it was this own, you know, health scare that I had.
Can I pause you for a second, just back up a little bit? Mm-hmm. Because it's interesting, you're saying, you know, you had this, like, like an aha moment where you're like, okay, I've been eating really healthy food. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew about food, but then you weren't getting these vitamins. You actually knew more about food than the average bear, right? Yeah. Like, 'cause you were...
Yeah, I went to culinary school. Right, I went to the French Culinary Institute.
Jen mentioned that. So when you learned about food, like, were you not learning about vitamins? Like, what was your experience within the food space before you got into your business, your wellness business?
So I actually took some master's classes in nutrition at Tufts. Mm-hmm. I didn't complete the program because I ended up becoming really busy. But I took some master's courses in nutrition. So I have a pretty, like, basic foundational understanding of nutrition. And at culinary school, the focus is not on nutrition, but you get a sense of, like, how to balance your plate and how to balance your diet. And mm-hmm. so I did have a better understanding than I think just the average person would about food and the types of things that you should be eating and not be eating. And I've never really been a person that participates in fad diets or hops on the bandwagon in that way. Like, I don't even use coconut oil, like, when I cook. Like, I don't.
I heard that's bad now.
Yeah.
I saw it on Facebook.
There's just so much conflicting information about coconut oil specifically. Like, coconut water is great for you, but coconut oil, like, I don't know. You know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel like the French aren't really, that isn't their fat of choice when they're cooking.
Oh, God. You learned butter.
Like, did you do a lot of, like, vegetarian or vegan cooking?
A little bit. So the program, it's called the International Culinary School now. They changed its name.
Because is this now, the one down in, like, it's on West Soho. Broadway?
Yeah, it's on Crosby.
Okay.
And we learned a lot about, actually, nutrition there, and, you know, food sourcing and the importance of crop rotation and just really interesting things that you wouldn't take away just from being a culinary student. So just having a good understanding of really like where your food comes from and what it takes to bring food, you know, to the mass market is really fascinating to me.
You guys, let's talk
about some carrot sticks in your bag. I don't know.
Speaking of carrot sticks, let's talk about vaginas.
Tampons.
Okay.
I was like, how do I transition? I do want to talk about vaginas.
Lady parts.
No, I want to talk about Love Wellness, your company.
Yes, yeah.
First of all, were you always comfortable talking about vaginas? Because now you have a feminine care company that is branching into other things, but you have to be able to like be cool with that. Were you that girl in high school?
To a certain degree, but not in like an overt way. I think among friends, I've always been pretty comfortable having conversations about my body or, you know, just girl talk like, oh, yeah, like I hooked up with that dude kind of a thing. And so I think if you have a certain level of comfort, it's easier to kind of go down the road of becoming, you know, a spokesperson for the category or voice. And I think what I realized when I first started the business was nobody's doing this in a way that empowers women. You know, I've always had the experience of going to the drugstore and you are there for a personal care product and it's embarrassing and demoralizing. And like every woman has that experience. Mm-hmm. Like you go into that aisle and you pick something out and you like hide it in your cart and you can't wait to check out. And then you ask for a double bag because you're too embarrassed to like be seen with your monostat walking down the street or whatever it is. And so we feel that way, I think, because we have been taught this message from a really young age that women's bodies are like their body parts specifically, like are dirty, are ugly, like you should be embarrassed about your body. These are your private parts. You know what I mean? And I think if you are told that message over and over and over again as a woman, you start to believe that. And so that's why going into the self-care aisle at the drugstore is so uncomfortable, right? Because we've been conditioned to feel that way. And so how do we change that?
And you're talking about products like if you know, if you have a yeast infection or feminine care, like a wipe or something like that.
I'm kind of speaking pretty broad
about
it.
Even tampons and pads,
you know. Like, who decided that douches were appropriate for women? Like, who made that decision back in the day?
But don't you think there are a lot of women, like, they're on board with this? Like, you know, I think I hear of a lot of women that like want a douche product or they want a wipe or they want, you know, they don't necessarily look at it as like, oh, damn, I'm going to buy this. It's like they are like happy consumers of these products.
Yeah, I think to a certain degree, yes. But I think the understanding from a biological perspective is off. And that's where we, like Love Wellness, can do a better job of educating women on products that are actually useful for the body and things that are necessary and things that are not necessary and like best use case practices. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so
what's an example of a best use case?
Sure. So let me just go back for 1 second and I will tell you like a best use case scenario. So, you know, you have this experience of being a woman in the drugstore and like that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And as a business, like that is something that we want to change because if you need a product like that, you're just trying to take care of your body. It's not like a vanity thing. You know, like you have a yeast infection and you need a product to solve that problem or like you need tampons. You know, it's very basic stuff. And so we are trying to empower women to feel positive about those choices and give them products that are natural, safe, effective, doctor recommended, and are really fucking cute. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we deserve. We should feel good about these kinds of decisions and these kinds of products. You know, we're trying to normalize this category as much as we can. And I'm aware that not every woman is going to get on board with wanting to talk about this stuff. And that's fine too. Like we want that woman to be a customer also. You know what I mean? Like we want to serve all women in the way that they need. And so use case.
Yeah.
Here's a really good example. So most women have been told, like, you should only use water down there if you're cleaning yourself. What a lot of OBGYNs, in my opinion, have failed to do when they say that is clarify that they are talking about the vagina as in the internal organ and not the vulva, which is the external genitalia, which doctors recommend that you wash.
Yeah.
And so we have a product, a pH balancing cleanser, that's a 100% natural product that's pH balanced to match the vaginal microbiome for external cleansing.
Because in case some of it gets in the internal parts.
In case some of it gets in the internal parts, it is pH balanced. And actually, your vaginal bacteria also live on your vulva.
Yeah.
Like, it's just all keeping you safe and healthy. And so, like, that's a misconception that a lot of women have. And I think that that's why.
So they're not washing their vaginas.
I think a lot of people get the two things confused, the vulva and the vagina.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get those things confused.
But they're washing it with just water, thinking, like, I'm done. And, like, they're actually not washing their vulva. Like, they're not washing their vulva.
So if, like, you want to, like, clean out your vagina, you should only be putting water in there.
Correct.
If that's what you're going to do.
But are you saying that people are not, like, the scary thing is that there are people out there who are listening to their OBGYNs and they're hearing, I guess I'll just use water, and they're not using
anywhere my underwear covers.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, yes. But it's not necessarily scary. It totally depends on your personal biology, right? Like,
yeah.
If you don't create a lot of, like, sweat or, like, whatever, like, you might be able to use water and be totally fine. But doctors do recommend that you wash the external vulva with a mild cleanser.
I recommend it.
I recommend it also.
I can go on record and say I recommend
it. But some of the stuff out there isn't mild.
Yeah.
Some of it is not mild. Most soaps on market have a pH balance between 9 and 10, which is really basic.
Mm-hmm.
And the vaginal environment is really acidic because the acidic environment protects you against infections and irritation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bacteria down there that create that acidic environment. And so when you're using different kinds of soaps, you're killing off your bacteria and you're inviting infection into your body.
Mm.
That's how it works from a biological perspective.
Yeah. Or if you have, like, you know, the dude soap, like antibacterial, like Irish Springy kind of soap.
Oh God, it's so awful.
Yeah. I remember once using that and, like, feeling a sting. Like,
you fall that stuff,
I think triclosan even used to be in it, and that's, like, totally bad now. I think it's banned completely.
Pretty much any body soap
that's antibacterial,
you shouldn't be putting down there, and anything that's antibacterial, you should not be putting down there because you're just creating havoc and you can't see it happening.
I, you know, this is not something in my health class I recall, you know, Mrs. whatever her name is, Miss Palmer talking about this in health.
Well, yeah.
Where did, and I seriously, you know, doubt that they're talking about this right now. Where did you learn about, you know, all of this stuff? Where did you learn about, where did you get interested in vaginal health, and where did you get your education and all of this stuff?
Yeah. So I used to get yeast infections, like, pretty regularly, like whenever I would, like, have a new partner, use condoms. Like, I just am really sensitive to, like, lotions, topicals, like, all that kind of stuff. So my body just freaks out kind of, like, with anything. And I know that this is TMI, but I was at the OBGYN all the time, and I would be classified as somebody who gets, like, chronic infections and irritations. And I mean, I have taken more Diflucan than you can imagine. And so at
it's over
point,
the counter now, right?
I don't know.
Really?
Oh,
it isn't?
No.
It's the other one.
So.
I remember when we were younger, even the Monistat, you couldn't even get over the counter.
Yeah, I don't think so. So it was becoming, like, a lifestyle problem for me. And, like, I just was frustrated and pissed all the time about it.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. And if you've never had a yeast infection, like, God bless you.
Oh, my God. Who are you? I want to meet you.
I want to meet you.
There are some people. I've met them.
Good for them. Their bacteria is very balanced.
Yeah, one of my best friends has never had a yeast infection in her whole life.
Lovely.
Even my mom, like, has maybe had one, she told me. And I'm like, how do I come from you?
Yeah.
So I was at the doctor's all the time. And I tried out lots of different OBGYNs, and finally a doctor prescribed me a pretty old school method for yeast and BV, and it's a boric acid suppository. And so we actually sell that product now. We call it the killer. I gave it that name just to try to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
So all it is boric acid, pharmaceutical grade, in a gelatin capsule. And the issue is that when you get it prescribed by your doctor, you have to take it to a compounding pharmacy. So the pharmacist has to actually physically make it for you. And it's really time consuming, and it can be really expensive. So there's quite a few barriers to entry with this this product specifically. And pharmaceutical boric acid is available. You know, it's a mineral, it's readily available. And we found a manufacturing partner that's owned by a medical doctor to create this product for us. And so now it's one of our best-selling products. It's an NDC registered over-the-counter drug, and it works for pretty much every woman that tries it. We have hundreds and hundreds of five-star reviews on this one product alone.
To be clear, that's for someone who has recurrent infections, right? You don't need to go putting boric acid suppositories if you've got a healthy vulva and vagina going on.
Yeah, if you have nothing going on, you don't need this.
It's not like a preventative product.
So you use it at the time you have a yeast infection?
Yes, yeah, so if you have a yeast infection or BV, you insert one and you can use it up to 7 days. A lot of women find relief more quickly than that. Mm-hmm. A lot of women report that by the next day they're like, feel great. And a lot of women actually do use it to spot treat. So if they start to feel an infection coming on, they use one suppository that typically gets rid of the issue. So it's a really interesting product. So that was really where I started with Love Wellness, is because what this one amazing doctor was like, try these. And it changed my life. And I was like, holy shit, every woman needs to know about this.
So that was the hero product.
Yeah, that was the hero product at first. And then, you know, just this past August, we relaunched the brand with a bunch of new vitamins and ingestibles that are not for vaginal health. They're for different issues that women have. But, you know, our original collection is vaginal health. And so we also have a probiotic that's formulated with 12 strains of bacteria that occur naturally in the vaginal microbiome. Mm-hmm. And the gut is the home of the immune system. So there's like a direct correlation there. And you want good bacteria numbers, right? To keep your pH in check, to, you know, not get infections. And then we have a vitamin that's called the Perfect Condition Vitamin. And this breaks down yeast at the cellular level in your body. It's full of natural ingredients that do that. We have our cleanser, and then we have wipes.
I wanted to ask you about the wipes. So, like,
sure, back to the wipes.
we have this conversation, like, you know, every 15 episodes or so. Like,
Started with Dasha Polanco
because she was saying how, like, she uses this product called, like, Limassol, which you may know about, which is, like a wash, like a feminine wash that many women have used for many generations. It's like a classic, like, feminine wash. Then we had somebody else, Emily Weiss, tell us that she uses Glossier Milky Jelly Cleanser as a feminine wash, yes. And then Jackie J told us she uses it also as an intimate cleanser. So we talk about whether or not these products, like, do you think there is, obviously this is your business, but like this idea of a category for like intimate cleansers, we've also gotten a lot of pushback and like, we've raised the questions ourselves, like, does it need to exist, or can people just use like Dove unscented soap
or Glossier Milky Jelly
or good old Glossier? You know,
I wouldn't recommend using Glossier because their products are not natural.
But what does that mean to you?
So I firmly believe that this category of intimate cleansers for women should exist because, like I said, most soaps have a pH between 9 and 10.
Yeah.
So they're not right for that environment, and they kill your good bacteria. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to clean down there, you should have a product that is specifically formulated for that part of your body in order to support your good health. And so that's why these products have been created. I think, you know, the thought or the motivation behind them generally I feel is positive, but I think the execution fails time and time again. And most doctors would recommend that if you're going to use a product like a cleansing product, that it should be an all-natural product, because chemicals do the same thing. Like, they kill your bacteria. So you might be getting clean, but you might be getting way too fucking clean. You know what I mean? And so also most products down there are four down there are formulated with a lot of different fragrances. And you are always unsure of what a fragrance's formulation is. And so we have vanilla fragrance in our cleanser, but it's from a pure vanilla source that's natural. And so that's why we made the decision to put it in, because most fragrances are not natural. Mm-hmm. They're not naturally derived. And they're just bad for the body. They irritate the body. They irritate the skin. And the skin down there is also like 10 times as sensitive as the skin on your face. And so that's why also cleansers have been developed down there, because most of the time they're way more gentle. So aloe vera is one of our base products in our formula, and it's really gentle on the skin and it supports the pH. So you just need to be careful about which brand you're going to, and you really need to research the ingredients. But like I said, I think that the motivation is sincere. However, I think the execution with a lot of brands fails to meet the mark.
It's funny. Yeah. There was a brand too that did like anti-aging serum for your vulva.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, but that's fucked up.
Okay.
We get some really amazing press releases.
Yeah. It's
like impressive. Anything that has like the word V in it, I'm already like, oh, I'm ready to open this.
I think
this.
That brand had V in it, but yeah. Are you going to branch out? You have these, you revamped the line. You have the supplements. Are you thinking about doing any beauty products ever, like more face care?
Not right now. We are expanding into CBD products, which is really exciting. And I know a lot of companies are, but...
Are they going to be suppositories?
CBD
no.
for the V.
There's a CBD suppository for period cramps, and I ran it by a gyne, and they were like, oh, it was based coconut oil-based, and she was like, do not put that in there.
I would agree. I think that there's not quite enough research done that has been done yet to like fully support the science of a product like that.
She's so PC. I love it.
Well,
I like the way you talk. You like make the claim you're going to make, but without like overstepping it. It's good.
Well, you know, this is a sensitive category, and it's a category that's full of misinformation. Mm-hmm. And so as the owner of this business, I think it's really important to always make a best effort to put the right foot forward and to make decisions on behalf of our consumers that are positive ones. Like as a business, we will never make a product that tries to change how your body authentically like works, functions, looks, feels. That's just not what we're about at all. You know, we are trying to do a way better job of like taking care of women than most of these companies have. And, you know, like if you're buying Summer's Eve tropical fucking breeze, like what message is that sending to women that you want their vaginas to smell like a tropical breeze? And we don't. We just want it to be healthy.
Yeah.
We just want you to feel good about your body.
Are the CBD products going to be more like topical lotions for inflammation and oils and that kind of thing, or supplements?
More along the supplements line.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So there's still a lot of research being done about topicals and how effective they really are when it comes to CBD and THC products. Some people argue that the cannabis doesn't actually penetrate the skin, and so you're just getting you're just getting a placebo effect.
I'm the queen of placebo.
Yeah, but you know, there is an argument about placebo effect in that if you're getting a placebo effect and it's helping you, then it's helping you.
I've always thought, I feel like that's fine. I think doctors do too. They're
if you
feel better, you feel better.
They do.
So is the CBD stuff going to be like for cramps? Is that the idea?
I don't want to tell you guys too much because we're so excited about it.
No, that's fine.
Mostly the CBD stuff. This first collection that we're launching is going to be for chilling out, for anti-anxiety. But the interesting thing
Not necessarily for, it's not vaginal.
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, so we're going above the body. We're going total wellness.
Yes. Total wellness.
Full body wellness.
Yeah. Full body wellness. In the same way we've gone full body wellness with our new ingestibles.
Okay.
And so... What's interesting about CBD products is that the FDA really regulates the kind of language that you can use on labels and things like that. So we're trying to come up with like a real straightforward name that lets you know that the product is for chilling. You know what I mean?
Okay,
because
we can't say that. It's like calming.
Yeah, exactly. We can't say that on the bottle, and like even in the directions, like we can't like say that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the laws and regulations will change on that at some point.
Right.
Because it would be nice to be more straightforward. But, you know, CBD is truly like the next miracle drug. anybody with any kind of ailment takes CBD regularly and they feel better. So our products are going to be CBD isolate products, so no THC, so there will be no psychoactive effects at all, which I think for a lot of people that's really important, and especially people who are first getting into that space using a product like this for the first time, like they're freaked out, you know what I mean? Or they're nervous, at least. I was nervous.
I accidentally took the gummies that were the CBD / THC ones that this company sent me.
How did it go?
To my office, no problem, in the regular mail.
At work?
No, I took it at home before bed because it was supposed to be like, I thought it was CBD.
Yeah.
And I was putting on my overalls. Like, I love to wear overalls. And I seriously was clipping the one side of my overalls for 15 minutes. And I was like, what is going on? So I turned over the box and I was like, sent me the THC ones, but didn't tell me. And the CBD, they make THC gummies and CBD THC gummies. I then got the regular kind and they are very different. But like, yes, people, the CBD does not make you feel high. The THC does. No.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah, the CBD is not psychoactive at all. And what's really interesting is a lot of companies that are cannabis companies are trying to make a product that's more like CBD heavy for healthcare purposes. But because they sell in dispensaries, there has to be some THC in it. Mm-hmm. And so there's like a lot of marketing around, to get the CBD to work, you have to have some THC in the product. But that is a false claim. That's not real.
Okay. Let's talk more beauty products. What else are you using?
So I have actually been cutting down on my products.
Okay.
Because I've read some articles that have indicated that actually if you use more products on your face for skincare,
you might
be aging yourself faster. Yeah, I mean, you're talking skincare.
Okay.
You might be aging yourself faster. So I don't know if I like really buy into that. But so for skincare, I love a Dr. Gross Alpha Beta Peel.
Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
Love those. I'm a big Skin Medica fan. So I have their Lytera 2.0 for discoloration, which actually works. And I love their sunscreen. I forget the name of it specifically, but it's one of the only sunscreens that protects against some other kind of like ray, it's like UVA, UVB, but also some other kind of ray. And my dermatologist was like, this is one of the only sunscreens on the market that actually protects against a certain type of like infrared. Mm-hmm, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I like it. Like makeup goes on it fine. You know what I mean? I still have yet to find like the most miraculous sunscreen of all time. I don't know. But I do like Skin Medica and, you know, makeup same. I've really cut back. I do like, I use the Rihanna foundation. I mix two colors together.
Even with 40 shades, you still have to mix.
Yeah, I still have to mix.
Do you know?
She missed one.
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know off the top of my head, but I could send you guys for the blog afterwards. I could tell you what two shades I am.
I've heard good things about that foundation.
I like it for it. It like if I need some coverage, I like it. Mm-hmm. And I am a fan of a KKW contour palette.
Wow.
Is that a powder one or?
Powder.
Okay. Why do you like it?
The colors go well with my skin tone. So I have sort of like an interesting skin tone that's hard to color match with foundation. My mom is Dutch Indonesian, and so she has really like beautiful dark olive skin.
And a very healthy microflora down below.
Yes, she does.
I remember.
And my dad is Irish, and so I have an interesting combination of like kind of pink but kind of yellowy skin, so it's hard for me to find a foundation color that's perfect.
Yeah.
And so the closest that I've gotten lately is the Fenty Beauty 2-in-1.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
Beauty hack.
What about like lips or eyes?
Lips or eyes. So I use CoverGirl Lash Blast Mascara. Like
the
$6.
The orange,
waterproof. I've been using it for years, and I don't think I will ever use another mascara.
Okay.
I just got that new NARS Climax mascara in the red tube.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
It smudged all over my face. Right? You?
It looked gorgeous. It lasted about a half an hour on me. And it didn't smudge in the usual way where I could see the transfer. Yeah. I just looked very tired. I had a little gray under my
eyes. I used it one night, but at that night I literally was like the most exhausted I've ever been. So nothing, nothing was looking good on this
face. You had multiple
face.
Variables. Not a good test.
Yes, exactly. I'll have to use it in a more controlled environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time I used it, it was great. Second application, clumpy, bad. Yeah.
So Lash Blast for you.
Lash Blast for me. One of my favorite beauty products is Bag Balm.
Oh my God, that udder thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny.
Where do you put it?
On my eyelids, right here, on my cheek as a highlighter.
That's so funny.
It's the best.
Like on your eyelids, it's like an eye gloss.
Uh-huh.
That's really funny.
Yeah,
eye gloss. Is it better than like rosebud salve or pawpaw ointment?
Yeah, because I just feel like it's like better for your skin. There's no fragrance in it.
Okay.
And so I just feel like on my like eyes, which is like really sensitive skin, I'd rather put something like that than something with a fragrance in it.
Yeah.
And I will say that it is the best lip exfoliator I have ever tried in my life. You have to use a toothbrush with mm-hmm. it, but it is the best like pre-toothbrush setting thing for your lips of all time.
Ooh, I like
that. Oh my God. And a makeup artist.
Do you have to leave it on for a while before you do the brushing?
No, just like 2 or 3 minutes.
And the toothbrush is dry or wet?
Wet or dry.
I've heard this from makeup artists a million times, and I always use washcloth instead of the toothbrush. But
washcloth is fine too, yeah.
But same idea.
Yeah, same idea.
And what's your favorite fragrance?
We
have to ask.
Mojave Ghost.
Byredo.
Byredo. Right?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, because this was so fun and informative, what should we have asked you that we didn't ask you? Like, set the record straight on anything?
Gosh, I feel like I actually...
Or did we do a good job?
You guys were great. It was fun to talk about TV, and I don't normally enjoy talking about it, but this was fun. And we talked wonderful... we said wonderful things about women and their body parts, yeah. which was rad.
And anything you guys else we need great. To know about our vaginas? Is there any... what's the one thing we can do to take care of our vaginas?
Masturbate.
That's I would say that that's definitely important, but you're...
I looked right at Jess because I knew she was going to hate me when I said that.
Your vagina really is all about good bacteria, so definitely take a probiotic or like eat lots of yogurt, drink kombucha, drink things that are good for your gut.
Jen, you're like a pirate or something.
I'm sorry. Lo, you've been great. Thank you for putting up with me.
You guys are great.
Getting to know Jess. Thank you so much.
I want to come back.
No, anytime.
Lo, you're always welcome here.
Thanks, guys.
It's time to raise a wand.
It's time.
What are you raising a wand to?
So I went shopping online on Amazon like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought these bad boys.
What are they?
Yoga Toes Gems.
That looks like an As Seen on TV product. What the hell is that?
So my feet, I have bunions. Well, I had a bunionectomy on my...
I had two bunionectomies.
Oh, we got to talk about this later.
Next episode, all bunions, all the time.
So I had a bunionectomy on my left foot, but my right foot, my bunion is getting much worse. And I also just feel like my toes are like, they're definitely curling up more.
Oh, you know how the grandma toes are always like all like swished all over each other? Yes. My Oma's toes, like the second and third one, were like an X basically.
Oh my God. That cannot happen to me. So that's why I use Yoga Toes Gems. So I just feel like they need like to be stretched out. So I thought in my head, I was like, wait a second. Yoga toes just came to me like a lightning bolt. Like it was like in my subconscious.
These look like the pedicure sponge things,
yes,
right?
But they're like made of like silicone or something.
So they're spreading the toes even more.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if they're actually silicone, but they're like jelly. Like they're very jelly. And I pop them in between my toes. Yes, they feel like the pedicure things. They definitely stretch them. The gems are not as aggressive as the original yoga toes. So I'd recommend those for first-time yoga toes customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like them. I put them on for about 10 or 15 minutes a night, and they stretch them out, and I like them.
And your bunion feels better?
I'm like, I just feel like they're getting a good stretch, because your toes do not stretch by themselves.
Oh, good point.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you're like actively doing that.
And who does? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yoga people probably.
Yeah, but so yoga toes.
Cool. Well, you told me we were going to be talking about the no makeup trend, which had me like looking through what I've been using that's along those mm-hmm. lines. And one of the products is, and we've never talked about it, it's called Model Co. You know that company?
Yeah. Totes.
Fluid Splash 3-in-1 Foundation, Concealer, and Eye Base. It's like it's almost like a liquid foundation, and then the cap has the concealer.
Oh, that's perfect.
But both the concealer and the foundation are not full coverage. They're like tinted moisturizer. And the concealer is also like an eye primer. It's very sheer. And the finish is, I feel like a lot of these no makeup makeup products, even the CC creams I love, like Airborne and stuff, they have a kind of matte silicone-y type finish, mm-hmm. which to me is the antithesis of the no makeup thing.
Yeah.
And this has a very, I wouldn't say dewy, but like a satiny, like real skin kind of finish.
Nice.
So I feel like sometimes those products get too matte, and this one's really nice. So Model Co. Fluid Splash 3-in-1.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.